Again, welcome to Harvest Bible Chapel. Glad you're here today, and just really, really excited to get into God's Word with you this morning. We've been working through this series called Uncommon Community, just looking at how are we called to live together as the people of God in our day-to-day lives, in our church, in our small groups, in our communities, and what's that look like. And so we've been walking through the one another's of Scripture, and learning how we should be relating to one another. And today we get to one that's hopefully a little bit more lighthearted than some of the other ones we've had to hit on, but not any less important. And today we're going to talk about encouraging one another. And so if you got a Bible, go ahead and grab that. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a hardback black Bible somewhere there on the floor around you. Feel free to grab one of those and follow along with us. We'd love to have everybody's eyes on a copy of God's Word this morning. So as you're kind of getting to your place there, I was kind of thinking this week, and you know, Courtney and I, we both went to a Christian university, and that's where we met and so forth. And anytime, it just kind of comes with the territory. Anytime you go to like a private Christian university, you just go to lots of weddings. It's just like kind of, it's just like par for the course. And like our college had like a little, a joke running saying that, you know, you get a ring by spring or your money back. And so that's just how it was. And so one summer, I think we went to like 12 weddings in like one summer. It was crazy. But even now I'm a pastor, and so I'm involved in weddings a lot now and again, you know, obviously. And, you know, weddings are awesome. It's always this great day, and it's all full of excitement, and everybody's, you know, just joyous about the whole thing. The beautiful bride comes walking down the aisle, and you have this great ceremony, and everybody's, you know, just excited to be there celebrating with the couple. And then you get to, like, the worst possible part of the day. The receiving line. Anybody? Amen, right? Like, you got to, like, walk through. And, like, everybody's excited to, like, see the bride and the groom. And you're like, oh, congratulations. You look so pretty, blah, blah. And then you might know some people, like, in the wedding party, right? And you kind of joke around with them, like, oh, yeah, you clean up pretty good, right? Yeah, you know. And then you get to, like, the parents and the grandparents and like the aunts and uncles and third cousins. I'm like, why are you in line? I don't know you. I don't know what to say to you. It's just awkward, right? Like, you're like, hi, you know, congratulations, even though you didn't get married, or I don't even know what to say. And you know, but you're glad to have them out of the house finally. Like, what do you say to them? I don't even know. Like, it's just a really awkward thing. And it's awkward because it doesn't seem genuine because you don't know them. Right? It's kind of empty. We're trying to be nice. We're trying to follow the social norms and all that kind of stuff. That's not a bad thing, but it's not the same as the first one, right? The people you actually knew. You tracking with me? That's how encouragement works, right? It can feel empty if there's not something behind it. And so today we're going to look at that from God's Word, and here's what I want you to think on today. I want us to think about how can we trade in your empty expressions for edifying encouragement. Trade in empty expressions for actual, true, edifying encouragement. And Paul gives us some great things to think on here as he shows us a great example of this in Philippians chapter 1. So I'm going to start in verse 3, so you can follow along with me there. We're going to say, it says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Here's the first thing I want you to see this morning. Prayer makes encouragement sincere. Prayer makes encouragement sincere. He starts off here, he says, I thank my God for you, and he gets into all this, and I prayer and prayer, it's a couple times in there, right? Because prayer aligns my heart with my words, right? A lot of times when we're going throughout our day, we kind of go through some social customs and norms that we're just kind of, you say certain things at certain times, and like you walk up and say, hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm good. How are you? Oh, I'm good. And then you walk on. And nothing was actually said in those 2 seconds, right? Like, you just did the normal. You tracking with me? But when we are prayerful about our communication with others, it brings our heart in line with our words, and it actually gets us to a place where we can actually talk sincerely to that person beyond just the normal stuff. And so Paul has that here. And so 4 things I'll highlight for you in this section about a prayerful heart and just having a sincere heart behind your encouragement. First of all, he says, I thank my God. Paul had a thankful heart for these people, right? We need to have thankful hearts. We need to thank God for the relationships that he's put into our lives. I think sometimes we take them for granted. Sometimes we take it, you know, just this is kind of how it is, and or sometimes the relationships get a little bit strained and we're not so thankful for them at those times. But the reason God puts people in our lives is to work in us and through us and to give us opportunities to have community and to learn how to grow and to love people and for them to love us. Like, there's all this stuff that God uses relationships for to shape us into the image of Christ. And we need to be thankful for the relationships that God has put in our path. And then he says, thank my God in all my remembrance of you. So not only did he have a thankful heart, he had a remembering heart. Sometimes I feel like this is the part where, at least for me, I lack in the encouragement. The encourage one another thing is because I don't take time to think about the people that I should be encouraging. I don't remember them. They're not on my mind. Are you tracking with me? Right? Here he says, I remember you, right? In my remembrance of you, remembrance has a couple different elements to it. There's the recall of it, right? Like remembering God's blessings in your life and the way that he's worked, whether it's been through people or whatever other means. Then you have, once you recall, okay, this was a blessing, then you have to recognize that, yeah, this is from the Lord and this is from this person, and you need to recognize that they're important to you and to your life and give some mental assent to that. But then most importantly, once those things are brought to mind or we bring them to mind intentionally, we need to reciprocate. That's really what he's saying here, right? And in all my remembrance of you, he's like, listen, man, I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you the same way that you encourage me. And I remember all those times that you said that to me, all those times that you called, all those times you sent a text or you showed up. I remember what you did in my life, and I want to be that there for you too, right? And as God encourages me, I want to be a river of encouragement to you as well, because God has put you in my life for that. So he says he had a thankful heart, he had a remembering heart, and then he gets into the prayer part. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Prayers twice there. He has a prayerful heart. I've come to believe and understand that all encouragement ultimately comes from God. He's the source of encouragement in our lives. He sends it through other people most of the time. Sometimes he sends it through his word. Sometimes he sends it through a song or some other means. But a lot of times he uses other people in our lives to send encouragement into our hearts. And it's coming from him. And the way we tap into God's heart of encouragement is through prayer. And that's why Paul hits it twice here, right? And when we're praying about how we can be encouraging to others and how we can fulfill this command that God gives us to encourage one another, there's two parts that we need to be including in our prayer. Number one, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit encourage them directly, right? That just be praying that God I can't be the only one encouraging them all the time. I don't have that capacity, but they need encouragement. Like, just meet their needs, encourage them, send your Holy Spirit, just minister directly to them. And then the second part of the prayer is, and then use me any way you can in that process. Open my eyes to see who needs encouragement. Give me a heart to reach out. Make my actions line up with what I say I believe and who I am. And let the Holy Spirit work in us to push us out more into encouraging one another. And then the last thing he says, making my prayer with joy. Paul had a joyful heart. Again, we should value the relationships that God puts in our life. We should take joy in the relationships that God has given us. They're his gift to us. Think of it as that they're people in your life are like, especially Christians, fellow Christians, they're God's living grace in your life. Like, if they're walking in Christ, right? And I'm talking about Christians now. If they're walking in Christ and they've got the Holy Spirit in them and you have an ongoing relationship with them, whether it be through small group, whether that be through a church service, whether that be through just a personal relationship or neighbors or whatever, that ongoing relationship is God's living grace in your life, because as you're communicating and as you're entertaining that relationship with them, they're filling you up with more Jesus, or they should be. And we should be doing that for them. That's what we're called to here. It says, I have joy. You bring joy to my heart. And when joy is lacking in our relationships, because sometimes it is. Let's just be honest today, right? Like, sometimes things get hard, things go wrong, people sin, bad stuff happens. Sometimes our relationships start lacking joy. What do we do with that? pray. It goes right back to prayer again. When my heart doesn't line up with what my words need to be, I don't need to change my words to my wicked heart. I need to change my heart to line up with the words that God's told me to speak. And the way I do that is through prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to come and change this, to clean me up, to get rid of whatever's in there that's causing me to not desire or pursue this type of encouragement. When we take joy in our relationships, encouragement is our natural response. Right? When you really love someone, when you enjoy their company, when you want to be with them, you just naturally will encourage them at given times. It just is just a natural overflow of the joy of that relationship. And so if we find ourselves struggling to be encouraging to one another, maybe it's not the encouraging that needs to be fixed. Maybe it's the joy in our hearts that needs to be fixed. And asking God to give us joy and see the value and remember the importance of those relationships in our life so that our heart can change and become sincere in our expressions. I think a lot of times when encouragement struggles in our lives, I think for most Christians, it's not a thing like we don't want to be encouraging. We oftentimes fail at it. Anybody else have that? Anybody have encouragement fails in your life? Like where you want to be, like you have that moment where you want to be encouraging, you want to say the right thing, but you really don't know quite what to say, or when you do say it, it doesn't come out right, and it's just like, And so, I mean, sometimes it's just a hard situation. You've got the child who's just lost their parents, or the friend whose spouse just left them, or the family member who just got diagnosed with some, terminal disease or some major thing. And like, what do you want to love them, you want to encourage them, but what do you say? And sometimes it just doesn't seem to go quite right. I know what you're going through. Do you? Have you lost your parents? Do you really know? Or we'll say things like, well, I know you're sad, but he's in a better place. Yeah, I know that, got that. I'm not upset about that. I'm upset about that he's not here now. It's true, but it's not helping me in the moment because my emotions aren't about where he's at or where I know he's going, but where he's not, right? Or we'll say things like, there's a reason for everything. Yeah, I can quote you that verse. I'm not worried about what's coming. I'm worried about how do I deal with this right now. And even if there is a reason, it doesn't mean I have to like it in the moment. Or just think of the testimony you'll have one day that you can share with others. That's great. I'm not worried about the future right now. I'm just trying to get through the present. Right? And again, we say these things. I've said some of these. And we say them and we're genuinely trying to be encouraging, are we not? But they're not always super encouraging. Sometimes they're actually discouraging to the people who hear them. And so sometimes when things like this come, sometimes we just need to not say anything, okay? Sometimes the best encouragement you can give someone is to keep your mouth shut and just be present in their life and just be next to them and hug them or hold their hand or sit next to them on the couch and just be there for them, right? But sometimes we do need to say something. Like you have that, you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to say something. And so then what do we do then? How do we deal with that feeling of I need to encourage them, I want to encourage them, but I don't really know what to say, and I know I don't want to say these things because Pastor said them last Sunday, and now I'm not supposed to say them anymore, and so I'm not going to say these things. And so now what do I say in this moment that's kind of like, let me give you three things that might help kind of process that, okay? This isn't foolproof. I'm still going to have some encouragement fails from time to time. We're human, but maybe this will be helpful. Number one, when you need to say something, first of all, as is in line with the point this morning, pray. Pray in that moment right there. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Not what do I want to say, not what am I used to saying, not what do I think they want to hear, but Lord, what do you want me to say? Like, give me some words right here, right now. The second thing you can turn to, which is always a win, is Scripture. Can you just share Scripture with them? But now be careful, okay? They don't necessarily need a Scripture that is talking about the circumstances of their relationship. They need a Scripture that speaks to the emotion that they're going through. Do you understand the difference? No. Going to Romans 8:28 is not always super helpful, right? Like, God works all things for good to those who are called according to his purpose, and like, I'm not, no. How about like, his mercies are new every morning? That he does not abandon his own, right? Those are the verses that we need when we're trying to encourage. Now, 2 weeks from now or 2 months from now, when they're looking back on the situation, if you want to come back and help with the circumstance verses, that's great. In the moment, they need encouragement verses that point to who God is in their present situation, all right, not the circumstances. So prayer, scripture, number three, just listen. Even if you do need to say something, listen more than you talk. And when you ask questions that help them, not so much questions that help you. Sometimes we go into the question mode and we're just trying to get all the information so we have it clear in our head, which is not necessarily a bad thing to want to understand what they're going through, but is that most helpful to them at that moment? Or can we ask them some questions that help them process what they're going through rather than us trying to process what they're going through? Okay. So pray about it. Look for some scripture that's encouraging to the emotion, to the heart, and then listen as much as you can. Right? That's going to oftentimes be a better level of encouragement. But it all comes back to the heart. Where's our heart in this? Do we have a prayerful heart? A prayerful heart makes me a better encourager. Every time. A prayerful heart makes me a better encourager. So prayer makes encouragement sincere. Let's look at the second thing. Look at verse 5, going back to the scripture. He just said, remember, I remember you in every prayer, and it brings me joy, and I'm with you, and I'm praying for you. And then verse 5, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Here's the second point this morning. Relationships make encouragement real. Relationships make encouragement real. He says here, he doesn't call it a relationship, he calls it a partnership, right? He says, because of your partnership, but that's really just another word for relationship. And one of the things we see, if you read through the whole book of Philippians, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church there in Philippi, right? And what we find out is, like, he had a really close relationship with these people. Like, some of his letters, he wrote them to churches that he'd never even been to. He didn't plant them, he wasn't there, he didn't know them personally, he was just writing a letter to this church, right? But this one, this letter, he's writing to the church that he planted, and he spent a lot of time there, and he's invested in these people. He knows them. And we see here that when he calls it a partnership, he's talking about a deep, mutual, lasting relationship that he has with the Philippian church. And that's so important for our lives when we're trying to be encouragers to others. So let's just kind of to unpack that a little bit. A deep relationship. He had a deep relationship with these people because it was based on the gospel. Not just the surface level stuff. The relationship wasn't just about, you know, what sports team they both liked or the weather or they happened to work in the same neighborhood or they went to the same high school or whatever your thing is, right? Like, it was way beyond that. It was rooted in something deeper. They had a common bond at the deepest possible level, and that was because they both were followers of Jesus Christ. That type of relationship can bring great encouragement to our hearts when we know somebody and we're relating to somebody at that level, not just at the hey, how are you doing level. And when that's missing, when this deep relationship is missing, sometimes encouragement feels empty. That kind of goes back to our opening story, right, at the wedding. Like, it just kind of feels empty when you don't have that deep relationship with the person. It's just kind of like, okay, great, and you move on. It doesn't really mean that much a lot of times. So we had a deep relationship, he had a mutual relationship. By mutual, I mean it was a two-way relationship. When he said it, calls it a partnership, right? That's both sides are putting something into it. Both sides are benefiting from it. It's not like a one-sided, like a mentor-mentee thing or a boss-employee thing or a parent-child thing. It's a both on the same level. We're in this together, mutual kind of relationship. Mutual love, mutual respect, mutual admiration for one another. And I'm not saying you can't have that in some of those relationships I just named. You can have a mentor-mentee that's a mutual relationship. You can have a boss-employee that's a mutual, you can have that. But it's based on the fact that both sides are putting something into it and both sides are getting something out of it, right? And Paul had that with the Philippian church. And when we don't have that and we're trying to give encouragement, sometimes the encouragement can come off as trite, or arrogance. You ever had that? Where someone comes in and tries to encourage you, and they're kind of maybe in a spot of authority over you rather than in kind of a mutual relationship. And it, instead of feeling like encouragement, it kind of feels more like they're telling you what you did wrong and how to do it better. Or if you would just do it like me, you wouldn't have this problem. You ever have that? Right? So we have to be careful that when we're encouraging, that it's not coming in from I'm up here and you're down here. It needs to be in a mutual kind of setting. And then the third one, they had a lasting relationship. I love there he says, partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They'd been together for a long time, and this wasn't some short-lived thing. They had been through the ups. They'd been through the downs. This was a tried and tested relationship. They knew each other, and they knew how to get through hard stuff together. And when you have a relationship that doesn't go the distance, when it doesn't have that, and there's trying to be this deeper level of encouragement, a lot of times the encouragement can feel like judgment. Because, again, you're just trying to tell them how to fix it or just trying to point them to something better, and it doesn't feel real warm and encouraging. The key to strong, deep, edifying encouragement is having deep, strong relationships with people like Paul had with the Philippian church. Not that you can't ever encourage somebody outside of a deep relationship, you can. But the best encouragement, the strongest encouragement, the encouragement that we're really looking for as Christians from one another that the Bible is pointing us to comes from relationship. And so I just pulled out a couple verses here of other places in the Bible where it talks about encouraging one another. I'm just going to give you three things that the Bible shows us that if we're talking about really strong, deep, edifying encouragement, like the encouragement that the Bible is calling us to, what does that mean? What does that look like? All right? So here's three of those. You might want to maybe just jot this down on the side somewhere. Edifying encouragement, number one, calls us out of sin. It calls us out of sin. And to do that, you have to know somebody pretty well. And they have to know you pretty well to be willing to let you do that. But when you have that deep personal relationship, you say, listen, I love you, and I love you enough not to leave you in your sin. And I want to help you, and I want to pull you, I want to call you out of that. I want to help you grow out of that. I want to encourage you in the Lord. Let me give you a verse, Hebrews 3:13. Says, but exhort one another. Some of your translations might actually say encourage one another. So it can go both ways. But exhort or encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So listen, as fellow believers, man, we all know how easy it is for us to fall back into the flesh. How easy it is for us to fall back into sin. And if we are really walking in relationship with one another the way we should be, and encouraging one another, part of encouraging one another is saying, listen, I love you enough not to let you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I'm going to help you, and I'm going to call you on this, and I'm going to help you find a better place in this area of your life. Second way that we give edifying encouragement is that we call each other into sanctification. Edifying encouragement calls us into sanctification. Just as much as it calls us out of sin, it calls us into now be more like Jesus. Now become more like Christ, right? We want the best for each other in our life. If we really love one another, if we're really encouraging one another, that means we want the best for one another. And part of wanting the best for one another is calling us deeper into the walk with the Spirit. The verse for that is Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Stir up, there's another way to say encourage. Stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day they're talking about is the day that Jesus is going to return and take all of his children to heaven with him. And we know that until that day comes, our job is to walk with the Spirit day by day, becoming more and more like Jesus every day. And the way we do that is by having other Christians around us who are saying, listen, man, I love you. I'm here for you. You can do this, right? How's that scripture going this week? How are you doing with this sin? How are you doing with your wife? How's that relationship? Did you have that talk last week? I know you guys were struggling with this thing. How's that going? It's calling us deeper into our relationship with Christ, looking more like Jesus. That's edifying encouragement. Calls us out of sin, calls us into sanctification, and then the last thing, calls us to hope in Jesus. Calls us to hope in Jesus. We are promised. When you get saved, man, you are promised eternal life. You are promised victory in Jesus, and not just in the future, but right now. As we walk in this world day by day, Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. He is calling us into this whole thing, and we have hope in that. We can be encouraged just because we have him. And we need to remind each other of that. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." Right? It's like, listen, the closer and closer we get to Jesus coming back, the harder and harder it's going to be to live the Christian life. And so you need to be encouraging each other even more day by day, because we have a hope that is greater than anything that we face in this world. And if our eyes are on him and our hearts are set on him, man, we are headed exactly where we need to be. And that is encouraging no matter what circumstances you're going through. So if we want edifying encouragement, true biblical encouragement is going to be calling us out of sin, calling us deeper into sanctification, and continually pointing us to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the grand slam edification right there, all right? That's what we want. When I was a kid growing up, I shared a couple of stories of this particular street. We lived on this one street for a few years when I was growing up, and it was just like tons and tons and tons of kids on this street. I mean, they were just like everywhere, right? And like most of them had like little to no parental supervision. So it was just like Wild Wild West Kids Edition. Like it was just like everybody was like everywhere and just doing all this kind of crazy stuff. And so I remember one day we were out back on, there was like a field behind some of the houses on one side, and we were out there playing baseball and doing all this kind of stuff. And we were kind of walking back towards the houses and stuff. And there was this older kid about my age, or a little bit older than me, with this, started picking on my younger sister and calling her names and saying lots of stuff and just being a jerk. And so, you know, I'm big brother, right? And this is my sister. And so, you know, I'm supposed to defend her honor and stuff. And so we were walking back. I just happened to have the baseball bat in my hand. And so I just clocked him like right on the side of his temple. And he just dropped like a sack of potatoes, man. And I was just like, all right, let's go. So me and Leah kind of walk home. And so needless to say, that night, some parents were on the phone. That was like back before, like today I'd probably be like arrested for that. But like, you know, back then the parents were making phone calls and they're working through this thing. And so my mom kind of corners me that night in the house, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, what came over you? And I was like, well, he was calling Leah this, and he said this, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I was like, he was picking on her. And she's like, you do that all the time to her and to Sarah. Like, and I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm the brother, right? Like, I get to do that. I'm the older brother. That kind of comes with the territory. Are you tracking with me? You ever had that, right? Like family can say certain things to family that other people can't say, right? Or you'll take things from certain people because you have that relationship that you won't always take from somebody else, right? That's how encouragement works. It comes better through the filter of relationship, right? We need that relationship if we're going to get to this deep level of encouragement. And the same should be, just as it's the same with our physical family and friends, the same should be true for our spiritual family. The fellow Christians in our small group, in our church, in our spiritual family that we have a relationship with, they should be able to say things to us and us hear them and receive them that maybe other people can't say. And we should take it as encouragement to become more like Jesus. And we should be willing to say those things to those that we have relationship with. A personal relationship makes me a better encourager. A personal relationship makes me a better encourager. You want to be an encouragement to somebody? Build a relationship. So prayer makes encouragement sincere. Relationship makes encouragement real. That has some substance to it. And the last thing is in verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Hope makes encouragement powerful. I love here Paul points us again back to Jesus is coming. We have a hope greater than ourselves. He says, I am sure. I am sure, he says. Like, no hesitation, no worry about it. Like, I know this is going to happen. We have a hope in him, not because of us, not because of anything we do, not because of anything that we accomplish or achieve, but because of him. He is coming back. He is going to reign eternally, and he is going to see us made into the perfect image of Jesus Christ. It's ultimately him. It says here, it's his work. He began a good work in you. Did you catch that? Whose work is it? Point to whose work it is, right? It's not our work, it's his work. We get to play a part in it. He uses us in it, but ultimately it's his work. He's the one that makes it go. He's the one that works it out. He's the one that finishes it. It's dependent on him. Not only is it his work, it's a good work, right? It's a good work. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's painful. But in the end, if God's doing it, it's always good. It's for our good, it's for the good of the kingdom, and it's ultimately for his glory. That's the way God works. And I also love, he says, not only is it a good work, but he will bring it to completion. God promises to bring the work that he has started in your heart with Jesus Christ, that he will bring it to completion, where one day you will be perfect, sinless, just like your Savior. God has never broken a promise. And he's not going to start now. He will bring it to completion. We have that hope. He says we have it because of the day of Jesus Christ. Again, that's the day when Jesus is going to touch back down and come and set up his new kingdom in heaven and earth, and he's going to make all things right. And on that day, we win. We win. It's all over. The battle's done. No more fighting, no more tears, no more pain. Like, we are in it at that point. So we can be encouraged. And we can encourage others. Even in the toughest circumstances, we can say, I know it's bad now, but we have hope because there's a day that's coming where all things are going to be made right. I know it's hard now. I know it's ugly now. I know that maybe the words I'm even saying to you right now aren't that helpful. But let me just remind you, we have a Savior, and he's coming back, and there's joy in that. He's going to lead us to a better future. He's going to lead us to greater encouragement in him. And we can admonish one another with that. We have three daughters, and they all love to play in the water. What kid doesn't love to play in the water, right? And so, you know, they love all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, the pool or the lake or the beach or whatever. But they're scared to death to go underwater, right? And they're scared they're going to drown and the whole thing. And so we've done swimming lessons like 2 or 3 years in a row. Now every summer we're doing swimming lessons like multiple times. And it's just not working. Right, like, I don't know what the deal is. Like, they don't know the teachers, so they don't trust them. And then the teachers don't know them, so they don't push them hard enough to do the stuff or whatever. It's just a whole mess. And so this past summer, I was like, all right, that's it. I'm not paying for any more swimming lessons. If we're just going to go there and you're going to come out swimming the same you did when you went in, we're not. So I was like, this summer, I'm just going to work with them in the pool, and I'm just going to do, you know, what I can. And I'm not that great of an instructor on swimming, but we'll just see what we can do. And so anytime we were in the pool or in the lake, which I'm sure made it less fun for them, but Daddy's kind of making them learn how to swim. And because I know them and they know me, I'm going to push them. Like, you can do this. Like, kick harder. Keep going. You can make it. And I know I'm not going to let them drown, right? I'm not going to let them fail to the point where they're going to be in danger or something bad's going to happen. Like, they're going to make it out one way or the other. Whether they swim or whether I grab them, it's going to be okay. And so I'm willing to keep pushing them harder because I know the end outcome is it's all going to be good. Right? That's God with us. He's willing to keep encouraging us and keep pushing us and keep leading us deeper, and you can do this and keep going because we know the outcome is going to be good. That in the end, we're going to be exactly where God wants us to be, and we're going to be safe, and we're going to be with him, and it's all going to be good. We have that hope that we know the end of the story. And that's the greatest encouragement we can have. Hope in Jesus makes me a better encourager. Hope in Jesus makes me a better encourager for myself and for others. Prayer makes encouragement sincere. Relationships make encouragement real. And hope makes encouragement powerful. So again, I call you back to this opening statement. Trade in your empty expressions for edifying encouragement. Don't be satisfied to stay at the surface anymore. With your friends, with your family, with your small group, with your church members, don't stay here anymore. Let's get to some real deep biblical edifying encouragement. This is where we're going to grow. This is where life's going to move forward. This is how God's going to continue to work in us and bring that good work to completion, is when we learn to truly encourage one another. If we're being honest, we all want it. We all want encouragement, right? We all need encouragement from time to time. That's why God tells us to do it. That's why he tells us to encourage one another day by day. When we do so, when we are encouragers from this shared faith in Jesus Christ, it is so strong and so real and so deep that it helps us to grow and it helps others to grow. And someone in your family, in your small group, in your sphere of influence, in your friends, someone you know needs your encouragement this week. They need it. It's not just like a nice to have, not just a, it feels good to have a pat on the back. Like, they need someone to speak life to them this week. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit, open my eyes, show me who it is, let me see the person who needs encouragement and move my heart towards them? I think this week we can go out and we can be a blessing in the Lord's name to somebody else by just encouraging them with the truth of the gospel. That we are in this together and God loves you and we have hope in Jesus, and let me just pray with you, and right? We can do that. Can we do that this week? So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to move in our hearts and move us to be greater encouragers this week. And then we're going to sing a song just asking Christ to be in us and through us and all around us and to help us do this thing that we're asking to do. We can't do it on our own, right? God is the source of encouragement. He moves it through us to other people. So we need him to do it in our hearts first. And then we need to open our eyes and look for others that we can be encouragement to. Stand with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much for the truth of your word this morning, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are a God who loves us and encourages us through your word, through other believers, Lord, through song, through all these different ways. And now, Father, I pray that you would make us stronger encouragers. Lord, draw us deeper in. Lord, we're thankful for your word and the great encouragement that it gives to us every time we open it. We thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord, that come around us to encourage us and to build us up. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would bind us together. Bind us together with greater love and joy and peace and strength this week, Lord, that we might seek to encourage one another. And that we might show what it really means to follow Jesus as we obey your commands for your name and for your glory. I pray all these things in Christ's name.